Good morning. I'm David Ellis. Welcome to this, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's the fourth day of April 2018. Stay with us up until 2 o'clock today. Call us at 434-1790, or you can send your emails to us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. We also take your comments via our WhatsApp chat as well. There seems to be quite a bit to discuss at the moment, so rather than give you an opening gambit, instead what I'm going to do is come straight to the first caller of the day and hope that that person has prepared themselves well enough to set the pace for the day and to see to what extent other people will be keen to comment on the issue or issues raised by this particular caller. So welcome.
Hello, hi, good morning, David.
Yes, morning.
How are you?
I'm well.
You enjoy your Easter?
Yes, sir.
Good, good, good. So that means you're good to go. David, about four weeks and could be more, that the government of Barbados, through an AG, right, Attorney General, come to St. Thomas, open a police station on Magistrate Court. You familiar with that, right?
Yes.
David, what do you mean to open? I want to know, open, what meaning to open? When you open something, what you expect to happen?
When it is officially opened, does not necessarily mean that business will be done at it.
Mm-hmm.
Being officially open means that you are going through the formality.
Right.
So there's a distinction between that and then having it open for the use by the public.
Good. All right, I ain't got a problem with that. But I see, and this is some place. It is in my parish. It's in not my neighborhood directly, but in order for I to get any major way, I have to pass there, right? I live in Richmond Hall. That is in Bridgefield or King Garden, whichever feels good to you. Now, and it is on the main road. So it's in your face. David, I am saying that this building has been open, or according to you, all the niceties that you just put down, it was open on false pretense. Let me explain why. I would think that when you open a building, that it means anything thereafter should be furniture moving in, personnel moving in, the things to make the plant functionable, right? David, do you know that construction work ain't finished yet? This is what's happened, and
okay,
already...
Let's be realistic.
Yes, please.
What season is this? Isn't this political season?
Yeah, but that don't make it
Isn't this the kind of stuff? Well, the issue
but
here
that
is...
Don't make it right, David.
Let me ask you something. What's wrong about it?
But that's what I want to tell you. And I don't want you to fast-track me. I want to get to the chase.
Well,
let
me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the chase as quickly as possible, because if you take far too long to get there, you will put me in a position where I'm going to have to speed you up. So try to get to your particular point, you know, relatively quickly.
I want to say to you, David, and the listening public,
mm-hmm.
that I think that there are wastage going on, and the building even ain't open yet.
You think?
Because no, I think I'm 150% sure.
Where's the proof?
Because I was going to tell you, David, just relax yourself. All I'm saying, I see a perimeter fence went up, right? Chain link fence. Do you know not a fella is start to work in there yet, and this fence tear down, and I'm take down, and in any good way to put back up, you know?
Torn down by whom?
It didn't torn down by vandalism. It torn down, I would think, by the contractors and people who doing now what it looked like construction to erect another fence. David, that is wastage. David, and I'm saying to you, and nobody playing the trade there yet, you know. And I'm saying to you, if the building look good, don't get tied up. The building look really good. And I'm saying to you that if you come just for a public spectacle, right, to put down a perimeter fence, vision easy, because I would invest in a perimeter fence already and they know the cost, right? Then to come back to do construction work, earth moving and all that, to put up what you call a proper fence, I am saying that that is wastage already. I am also saying, I'm speaking now directly to the government in waiting, whether it is the same government that returned to office or the next one, which I hope should be returned to office, should be the new government. I am saying that a proper opening should commence. And I believe...
Look, don't get mixed up, because you're mixing up two things here. Whether there's been an opening, and then there's the question of the fence being erected and being taken down. As far as I'm concerned, they can determine that they want to open the building however they want to open it. That is not the most important issue. The most important issue is, how is the taxpayers' money being spent? They can play as much politics as they want to with it. They can determine that they might know full well that there's still a lot of work to be done before this building can truly be opened. So what you do is that you want to get the political message out there. You want the power and the prestige, rather, associated with opening the building before the elections. So you press ahead and do that, well knowing that there is still a lot of work that may have to be done. So that's their business. They can do that. You and I will be able to assess that. But for you to say that, well, on the face of it, yes, it looks as though if you put up a fence and you pull it down, that there is some wastage there. We need to get a better understanding of how the taxpayers' money is being spent on this and other projects. And it is particularly relevant in this period, this so-called 90-day period, where Parliament has been dissolved and cabinet ministers claim to be working.
90 years gone already. David, you just talk about the taxpayers' money. David, it costs over $200,000 to put up that perimeter fence, right?
Where you got the information from?
You talk about...
Where'd you get the information from?
David.
Where did you get the information?
David, it dropped off the back of a truck.
Well, it dropped off the back of a truck, and therefore I don't see you as... what is recognized to be a credible source in that regard.
I am saying to you, David, that if you talk and you recognize taxpayers' money is being wasted, right? Do you think somebody shouldn't be accountable?
No, but we begin from the premise that there is a need for accountability. We said that. That's where we are. In this particular period, how taxpayers' money is being spent, we need to get more information. This country...
You can start address something just for opening and then waste thousands of dollars. You understand what I'm saying? This is taxpayers' money, buddy.
Somebody says that it is supposed to be... It's been taken down to create a sidewalk. Give me a break. You mean to tell me they didn't know that this was required before the setup defense? If that is indeed the truth of the matter, then that is indeed coming across as though you're wasting taxpayers' money because you're not planning this thing properly. Anyhow, we've got to leave you, sir. I'm going to leave you. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Good morning, sir.
Hi, how are you?
I want to know how the Democratic Labour Party and its members can say they love Barbados. And every day, Mr. Ellis, you can see somebody criticizing today's paper, Sugar and Shambles, IDB Central Bank poor ranking. What really going on in this country? And they're holding on for the reins of government just for free money?
Well, before you go on to that, this person says that the fence was taken down to construct a sidewalk or walk path. The fence is rolled, and it looks to them as though the fence can be reused. They're saying that the fence is rolled. Listen, whoever has sent this particular information must also appreciate that it is a lot of fence. and some money had to be paid to pull it down and roll it, and money will have to be paid to put it back up. How can you dismiss this on these grounds? Where are we? What kind of thinking are we bringing to these issues when we talk about how people's money is being spent? It's wrong. Something, you know, and this may be just the tip of the iceberg. While that building is being looked at, they got another one across there by Vaucluse about to be open to the public. And the full details of these things, members of the public, you don't have a clue. What you do know is that you become suspicious of things like this, especially in a period like this. And that is the reality. Now, what happens because of that suspicion? What do you do when you are so suspicious? People do different things. Some people do nothing about their suspicions, but other people do. Yes, you were saying.
Yes, Mr. Ellis. Looking at this back page report on Today's Nation, what I don't know if I'm interpreting it right. The IDB is saying that the central bank is just there, but the Minister of Finance is running things there. And the central bank shouldn't be an independent organization operating on their own thing.
Well, I think it is well recognized that a long time ago, it was said to us that a central bank governor who heads that institution is but a creature of the Minister of Finance. If you wanted further confirmation of that, not so long ago, a governor of the central bank was fired by the Minister of Finance. Now, that's not the first time that a governor of the central bank in Barbados has been fired by the Minister of Finance. So let's put in perspective the roles. You must know that ultimately the Minister of Finance has the ultimate power in that regard. Agreed?
Yeah, I agree. But to be honest, Ma, this is ridiculous, though.
What's ridiculous about it?
We are dealing with a country. We ain't dealing with a bread and fish shop. We ain't dealing with a little rum shop. We dealing with a country.
But you are speaking as though the World Bank has been telling
the
you
IDB.
The IDB has been telling you something that you didn't know. That this is the structure. So what are you complaining about?
But then people can come around telling you to vote for them.
Hold on a minute. Isn't that the structure? What are you complaining about? I do not understand.
You mean what you're saying is that things that just happen, and we accept them and don't say nothing.
Things like what? I don't understand what you mean by things must just happen. I'm saying to you that that is the structure. Everybody in Barbados knows that to be the structure. You're sounding as though the Inter-American Development Bank has said something that you are not aware of.
Well, for me, I was not aware. I was not aware that the way it's run.
That's our structure. Well, that's how it is.
Okay. Thank you, Marco. To be honest, I'm in a good mood this morning.
That much is clear.
My countryman, to be honest. Thanks for your time.
Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm well, and you?
I'm good, man. Now, you know, I got to deal with my pet subject, but before I get to that, Mrs. Sugar, when a country send an athlete overseas, we are very concerned, especially in Barbados, how to send some person to race. And to win a race, we are very delighted about it, because it gives the country, just like Rihanna gives this country, a thumbs up. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Good. It is strange, and as the Prime Minister talk about history, it is very strange that two Prime Ministers from St. Michael's South had to go through the issue with sugar going into perilous times. You remember the years, because you was a rung long, when on the slide there was a man they called the sugar daddy, I think it was Neil Lewis, who had to give money to the sugar industry in order to get it started. You can remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
You know, history repeats itself again, that the same St. Michael South, and this is where I am feeling for the people in St. Michael South, where they are carrying the burden of people who take this country and put it in a state of chaos, and they supported these people at the poll. Now, let me deal with the sugar industry. And you remember, I can't continue to ask about the money that was being spent at Andrew's factory. Nobody to this day could tell you how much money was being spent on that factory. But you, as a government, were telling the people you were bringing in a state-of-the-art new sugar factory to grind what? And I can be very sure. And to who don't know, David, you may not know, but I know, because I grew up in it. Right now, the sugar industry, the sugar cane, better than that, as far as I tell you that, because he would be one who would be selling the canes. But when you sell the canes at this point in time after Easter, the content, the sugar content, is not going to be much. It's like a fruit that's there on a tree and dry out. There's nothing much, you know, in the tonnage of sugar that can come, even if you start now, because you pass April. You've gone into April, and the sugar content is not going to be much. And anybody that knows the chemistry in sugar will tell you that right now, the sugar and the canes ain't saying anything. They're just going to be cut, but you ain't going to get the tonnage out of sugar. And this is where this government has led this country. I can remain asking questions. I would still like to know if and how much money so far has been spent on Andrew's factory. The country should know how much money has been spent on Andrew's factory that far. Money. We know that it was stopped by the court or what the case may be, but that does not state that they should not tell you as they spent $10 million, as they spent $20 million, as they spent $30 million. That's all I have to say this morning, David. And thank you for your time.
Okay, well, the issues facing the sugar industry seem to be particularly deep. When you talk about Andrew's sugar factory, the focus must be wider than how much money has been spent so far, and it must be wider than who has gotten that money as well. It also must focus on the whole notion of this big project that they had planned for Andrews, and how viable is that project, especially in light of all that has happened since it was first mooted by the government. And that is, the amount of money that was required to create this multipurpose factory, the extent to which we would have had to borrow money to make it a reality, and how the downgrades have impacted on our capacity to borrow that amount of money. We have not been treated well as a country when it comes to discussing the future of Andrew's Sugar Factory, and where it was supposed to be going, and why it hasn't gotten there. There are many unanswered questions associated with this one. And on top of this now, you have the sugar workers. We expect that the sugar workers through the Barbados Workers Union would want to respond to what has been said by the Minister of Finance here, where he says that they will receive all outstanding monies before the start of the 2018 sugar crop, and is warning private farmers that they may have to wait a while for payment at the conclusion of this year's harvest. So a combination of the private farmers and the workers still need to know what is happening with respect to this particular industry, and in particular this season. He says, he's quoted here as saying that there will be issues pertaining to the 2018-2019 payment because government has to find the resources to work with the farmers. We don't have a whole lot of people rushing to lend government money to support the industry, as has been the case before. We used to float sugar bonds, and people would subscribe to those bonds. And you used to take that money and put it in. But that has come to almost zero. That's what he told journalists. And then he said, so sometimes it takes a little longer for us to raise the money or to accumulate sufficient money from the consolidated fund to be able to put into the enterprise as quickly as some people may want. Now, that is your Minister of Finance telling you that confidence in that particular industry has been undermined to that extent. What is not being addressed, though, is whether that kind of lack of confidence is peculiar to sugar. Because if you look at sugar on its own, you will see, well, you know, the sugar industry has been having all these problems over these years. But when you listen to people elsewhere in the banking and the financial sector, if you listen to the Bankers Association president some time ago, you heard the same kind of message coming through, that the private sector does not have the appetite to go there and support government's projects and government paper. And that the government, as you know full well, has embarked on a process of trying to force them to take up its paper. Of course, some people suggest to me that it has made the going difficult for people in this particular industry, the banking industry, and we can look at repercussions associated with it, because as you well know, there is cause and reaction, because the government believes that it has the upper hand and a big stick. It believes that it can force the private sector to do what it wants to do and that it will get its way. The private sector, on the other hand, would be flexible enough to say, look, you want this? You force me to do it? Well, you do it. But I've got other options available to me, and they will exercise those options. And that's the delicate balance that has always existed in this country in that regard. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
I'm calling the half of a poll in court, not Grove St. Joseph Bezixen. This is 3 weeks. The poll number is KJC 322.
What's the number again?
KJC 322.
You say it's at Coconut Grove Bezix?
Yes, St. Joseph. This is 2 weeks, running 3 weeks, that a light, it is go on, the mystery lights, but this one, all three just go off when the night on and off. So this one, that is go off too, and this is 2 weeks, running 3 weeks, it catch a fire and burn up the lights and power. Them come tight when it was burning the night. Thank God, I'm still going to come back and check. This is running now 2 to 3 weeks. I'm going to come back and look at the light, the burn-out wire. They got two more from the men that they go off every night. So I ain't going to hang the light in the house. We call them, we told them about them, they won't come. Them going to be at now, tell them, one of them two know that doing the same trouble, catch and burn up too.
So you want them to come and look into this matter and fix the problem?
Yeah, because we want them to come and fix the problem.
Because it's been running too long.
Yeah, we ain't getting a proper light at all from the men. Every night, the lights come on, they're off. Well, this one is doing the same thing, and this catch a fire, the night burn. And Mr. come in, check, now they won't come. It ain't fair.
Okay.
See,
well, I hope that they're listening to the program and that they will
yes, it's too long. With 3, 4 every night, the light going off, coming on. Tell this one here, so there'll be three houses, and I catch it that night and burn so pretty.
Okay. All right.
See, so we would like them to come and do something for us.
Will do. Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Don't brass that.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
I'm trying to see if it's me or if it's somebody else.
You're on the air.
Oh, I'm on the air. Okay. All of those things you listed just now is exactly why we need a new mandate. As a matter of fact, let me say that I really enjoyed the show yesterday. They had a lot of meat in it, and it was very well moderated by Mrs. Lisa Gill. I enjoyed Mr. Farley's interventions. Now, what caught me a little offset yesterday was I found that Solutions Barbados and UPP, I found them a little disingenuous to declare that the spokesperson for BLP was whining about calling for a mandate, calling for elections. My thing is, if they believe there's only BLP persons that want the elections called, I humbly suggest they're not on the ground enough, or people telling them both their lies. It was disingenuous to say that they've heard nothing or any solutions, because I've been listening to them all, I've given them all bouquets in terms of suggestions they're making, new and bold steps they want to take in terms of how we can change things up. They've all been saying it. It's not just the Solutions of Barbados or the UPP coming with ideas. I have heard the Barbados Labour Party coming with ideas as well. There's a question they asked.
Well, they came with a draft anti-corruption law. Solutions Barbados and the other and UPP, they haven't come with any.
When I say ideas, well, that's one thing. But I've heard Solutions Barbados did articulate some ways in how they would approach changing how we do business. I've heard UPP, primarily Miss Lynette Eastman herself. I think she was speaking to the cultural industries.
They speak primarily to the cultural industries. But you know what? I have not heard from the UPP. So what about? We accept the point that you have to move into these new areas, but what are you going to do with the old ones? I'm not hearing that from them. Almost every time I hear them speak, it is about the cultural industries and technology, which is valid, huh?
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not here to defend them because, I found them disingenuous yesterday when I said they're hearing nothing from the BLP at all. Look, and my real thing this morning is there's a sense of frustration here because you have to deal with people every day. It is a bona fide fact that persons who are hiring persons don't know what to do next because they're waiting. There are generally those concerns being said. We don't know what's going to happen next.
What are they waiting for?
People, the way we do business has been a very frustrating thing for several business clients. They believe that there are simple fixes. There's a lot of frustration, and I've heard Mr. Abed say it on several occasions for over a year.
Can you say more specifically, therefore, what are the causes of this frustration in the way that we do business?
That we talk, and we
agreed, but they want something specific. There got to be some specific areas that they want the talk to stop in.
Should I say the port and the way we move goods and services? And that's only one aspect, because I say that and I can already hear Lynette Eastman saying, well, it's not just about the wholesalers and the retailers. What about the other side of the fence, which is those young people? I think I saw some of the papers today that really warmed my heart, which is young farmers trying to make a way. Those areas, the work that your very own Corey Lane is doing, those are little relationship-building things that can restore confidence to an entire nation. But I don't want to get too frustrated, because I'm being mindful that there's a whole set of frustration out here, that there are lots of promises being made, and then people are clearly just using them for votes.
The question,
past that,
the question that I think we need to address on this is, one would expect that a party that has sold itself as a people-oriented party would be sensitive to these needs.
They have not been.
So the question.
That is hogwash.
So the question.
It is.
The question is, therefore, so what would be the political obstacles that would prevent them from addressing those concerns in the way that you and others would have expected? Let's assume that there have been obstacles. What could those obstacles be? Because they have not, so far, been able to come to us and tell us why is it that things have been stacked and skewed the way that people believe they have been.
Mr. Ellis, can I stop you there?
Sure.
Because I know you have to play your role. But honestly, February 21st is gone. March the 5th or the 6th is already gone as well. So when you stick in a phrase like so far, 10 years have passed, Mr. Ellis. You want me to just off the top of my head say South Coast, Cane Industry, CLECO, NCC, Water Authority, Housing, the Stadium, Fallen Reserve, Central Bank, more downgrades on this island faster than the Expo, Snow Cane, or Snow Cone, Garden, or Kadumet there?
That wasn't my question.
You want me to go there?
That wasn't my question.
I know that's your question, but when you try to set it up that way and tell me about so far,
that's
what
not
have
my
been
question.
The reasons? What have been the reasons, Mr. Ellis, is incompetence? It is not knowing what to do next, hoping that it will go away. Cancer does not go away unless it's treated. And that's what this country is feeling, like it's under pressure, like there's a cancer and nobody's seeking to address it. You see that phrase that they started with, wait and see? I told you back in 2008 that a wait and see approach means you will get straddled in the middle of the road because you're going to see if it's two motorcycles or if it's a truck. It has been proven to be a truck. We get a run over, Mr. Ellis. And you still want to encourage dialogue by saying, so far, February 21st gone, March 6th gone. So far what? So far we into this uncharted territory now where we are being told they're within the law. That is so contrary and insulting to intelligent people. It is not funny. They honestly hope that not one single one of them retains a seat because the message needs to be sent. This is not how Barbados is. We are better than this. By far, and it sends a whole set of insecurity coming from the top, and unfortunately, it has permeated how intelligent fellas that I know were my colleagues at school know how to do things better. They studied. We all studied the same things, both leadership and principles, and yet they have kowtowed and sacrificed common sense on the altar of politics, and it is not good enough. And I know they know that this is not good enough. We are better than this. We are better than this, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, all right. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Ms. Ellis, morning, sir.
Hi, good morning.
I just want to say that Mr. Stewart has redefined the word arrogance. I want also...
Before you go any further, let me make a point here. The people who want Mr. Stewart and the government to be defended today better call brass tacks and defend him, because trust me, I am not going to do that. You guys have ample opportunity, because a couple of people have already called to have their say, but you have ample opportunity to call the program and put your perspective on what has happened, what is likely to happen. They've got a whole set of you out there running both as candidates and that sort of thing. So please understand that I'm going to give you the opportunity to have your say, but please don't expect me to come to your defense, okay? This is down to brass tacks. Go ahead.
But, Mr. Sir, I don't want you to validate nothing I say.
No, I'm not seeking to validate anything you said. I just want to make it clear that I am open to having a mix of views on what happened.
White discussion.
Right.
White discussion. I don't have an issue with that. I want to make a point, but before I make my point, my preamble is to let you and listeners know that the front of Stewart has redefined the word arrogance. Anyway, to my point now, I think that it was wrong for front of Stewart to tell the people in this country that if money is offered, to take it. I want to know if he means only from the opposition parties, or if that was meant for his government, for his...
Well, don't worry about what he meant. The fact of the matter is that he's left himself so wide open in the way that he spoke about it that people have taken it in a most negative light.
Yeah.
And really and truly, by now, he must have heard how people have reacted to it. But then again, it may not be relevant. He may not consider it necessary to make any comment, any further comment on it.
And that's why I said to you that he has redefined the word arrogance. Anyway, let me move on. I am saying that it can't only be the opposition parties that will, if they do, give up money. Can't only be the opposition. And chances are that the government will give up more money than the opposition parties. So as opposed to giving up money, what they should do is take that money and give it to Sugar. People so the crop can start. So I want to end by saying this, Mr. Ellis, and this is for Mr. Stewart again. And I can say it slow that he can hear it and understand it, and somebody will tell him. The power of the people is greater than that of the people in power. I want Mr. Stewart to hear that and to understand it. The power of the people is greater than that of the people in power. Mr. Ellis, you have a great day, sir.
Thank you very much. Now, I want to let you know something. You guys who go to the drug service for your medication, tell me what happened the last time you went. You guys know that the price of some of the drugs on the formulary have gone up? Recently, you know, when you heard them talking about changes to the formulary, you might have missed the point that it ultimately means that some of those items now cost you more. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Now, David, I must ask the question, and the question made directly to you. I want to know if you all know get there. You understand the question? You understand the question, David?
No, I don't know.
Well, this is something to do with your preamble concerning sugar industry. I raised this matter quite a few weeks ago, and no one at all was saying anything concerning what happened in the industry. And I believe it only takes someone else to come and mention a few words, and they will get all the attention. And I was most disappointed even so yesterday. I mean, I haven't received my daily nation as yet, so I don't know exactly what the Minister of Finance said. But I would like to know if the press asked the Minister of Finance about the remainder of the money that was there for the private cane farmers, that when they went to receive the second drawdown, they were told the money was channeled somewhere else. And that was it. That's a question the Minister of Finance needs to tell the press or tell the sugar producers and farmers, where have that money been channeled? Because I believe, David, when you get a cash-strapped government or a broken government, these are the kind of things that you will find happening. And it caused me to wonder now if, in truth and in fact, if there's money still there in the catastrophe fund. Because government, when you get a broken government, David, they'll go on every shelf, every box, every corner, looking for money to use. So they need to, or the press need to find out if we still have money in the catastrophe fund. But it was happening in the sugar industry, I'm not surprised. Because this is the sort of respect that government have for agriculture, period. This particular government. And then what was most embarrassing, as far as I'm concerned, to the farmers, is that we get the Minister of Culture, Stephen Lashley, coming quite recently and beginning to speak about the crop over, the delivery of the last canes. That program will be drawn up much earlier. I mean, how could you think about crop over and the delivery of the last canes when we haven't had one single cane blade cut out of the cane grounds?
But crop over is not about the sugar harvest any longer. Crop over is a summer festival. Let's understand that. There's no need to link the two. That's only symbolic.
Oh, okay. But he was speaking about the delivery last year, so you know we normally have cans at the delivery as well. So I was surprised when he came with
that. No, but, you know, they say that they are actually working right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're working right now, why is it that critical questions that need to be answered even at this stage, they can't come and tell the Barbadian public chapter and verse about what has happened and where we are right now and what are the prospects? I mean, how do you draw your money for 3 months or so and don't realize that given the anxiety that exists in this country right now, that you have a greater responsibility and a duty to actually account to the people of this country for what the money that you are drawing? This is not I mean, it's about time they woke up and smelled the coffee, because central to all of this is a sense of people being disrespected and disregarded. And if you believe for 1 minute that people are going to sit down and accept that from you, then you may be misreading the Barbadian public. It's about time. There are a number of serious questions that the government has to answer to the people for. And this whole area of agriculture and sugar and stuff like that is just one of them.
You know, and that only showed, because this is the remedy money. In fact, that money that was there allocated to the private farmers, that money, those fellows use that money to service their vehicles, paint them, and so on, before they get in the fields and so on. And I believe that's exactly what they had wanted that money to do. So they can get money to paint and service
the vehicles. Because things are rough, and, you know, the difficulty is that once you get into this prolonged political season, because this is a long political season as a consequence of how things have been handled.
True.
You are creating an environment of a lot of suspicion and doubt. And that they are going to pay a price for that. They are going to pay a price for it. This person says, yes, I went to collect a repeat of medication yesterday and was told that it now costs $41. Previously, I paid $12. I asked if my medication was still on the formulary and was told yes. So this is one of those things that essentially, like, it gets sneaking through the back door. You know, you don't get no formal announcement that the price of medication will increase. What you get is certain drugs there's been a readjustment in the formulary. But the net effect is the same. So on top of all of them other things that you have to be paying right now, this is another one that has been added to the list.
They were like close by saying or asking this question, though. This 90-day period that the Prime Minister have now taken this country into, I mean, as far as I hear, some political commentators are saying that it's sort of like, I don't want to use the word illegal, but it's sort of like it's a threat to our democracy, David. And I honestly believe the only way we can bring a quick solution to this problem, and I'm talking about a military coup, so don't believe that for one moment. I believe now the army should step in
and do what?
Take control of this government and call election.
Listen, force this government to call election. My friend, please, don't be ridiculous. First of all, let me make this point to you. We have lived for all this period through all the difficulties that we have had since 2008 with the financial crisis and all that has gone on with it. Another couple of days. What will that do to us? There's no need for no army to step in. This is whatever is to happen in Barbados must happen through constitutional means. And we will not be party to any suggestion or any idea that may be construed to be less than constitutional. So don't go there. Let's leave that.
But they ever don't like me, Prime Minister, during this country.
That's true. We are not going to encourage unconstitutional means. Full stop.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I'm getting some feedback here on this situation here with the drug service. This person says, as you are aware, the Barbados government recently made several changes to the Barbados drug formulary. It was said by a representative of the drug service that the changes were made in consultation with the recommendation of some of our medical doctors. How in all good conscience could a government who has taxed a population to the extent that they have now expect to have them pull their pockets to pay for life-saving medication? My husband suffers from glaucoma. He's been prescribed Trevatin eye drops, and they work extremely well for him. Sadly, that has been taken off and substituted with one that doesn't reduce the pressure in his eye. David, this could blind him. So, he obviously had to purchase his at just over $40. This is medication that must be taken for the rest of his life. Thankfully, he's not diabetic or hypertensive. My concern is for those persons who don't have the means, but are in dire need of life-saving medication. Then this person says that three of my diabetes tablets are off, meaning that this medication has been taken off the formulary. And their price has moved from $43 to $116. Another person says their medication has gone from $148 to $189. Okay? This person says that I went to collect my mother's medication on Saturday and was shocked when the cashier told me $37.80. Previously, it cost her $7.20. Mr. Ellis, I had $40. If I didn't, she couldn't get it. All right, so that's what's happening with respect to the whole question of the changes in the drug formulary. They have resulted in increases in the prices to people who were previously receiving drugs at cheaper prices, and some of them might have been receiving those drugs free. All right, that's the implication that you should understand. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
Okay, fine. A tale of three countries, Guyana, Jamaica, and Barbados, human trafficking, right? Sometime last year, we learned that Guyana had made significant advances in the fight against human trafficking, and this effort had earned it a tier one ranking in the U.S. State Department 2017 Trafficking Human Persons Report, right? By the 25th of January this year, we learned that Jamaica now is also making great strides in the same issue with human trafficking. They said that the force there had, they have rescued 76 victims, right? And there were more than 3,000 interviews resulting in convictions of three of the 23 suspects who were before the law courts for human trafficking.
So where are you going with this?
I'm going with this. If you listen, you'll hear what I'm going with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said Guyana. I show you where Guyana improved their ranking. I show you where Jamaica is also making efforts to get off the two-tier as opposed to Barbados, who was ranked in the two-tier U.S. State Department list since 2010. Okay, that's where I'm going, right? If I can go there.
So the question is, what is it that we are doing that is causing us to remain static?
This is the point that I'm making. Because if you listen, you will find out that these countries have done significant things. Whereas, on the other hand, Barbados did nothing but complain and quarrel with the United States Department. Okay? It's recently, the 15th of February this year, the Attorney General said that it annoys him that someone in Washington writes a report every year, change very little in the report, and then determine the fate of 3,000 citizens here, right? With a stroke of a pen. But you know what? They said to date, Barbados has only convicted, they think one person for human trafficking, and that was ever since in 2013. And it has gone, really, the trial is that. So that is the point that I was going.
You know, I'm listening to you on this, but I want to say this, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not everything that people say about us in these reports should be just taken at face value. Barbados will also have its own response and its own position to these matters. And there may well be occasions when Barbados feels as though it is being unfair that somebody is saying something about us that is not really as bad as it is portrayed. Based upon what you are seeing in the report, is that the Barbados that you know?
Yes, but okay, if someone is saying something unfair to Barbados, what you believe the authorities in Barbados should do?
I asked you a different question.
My question to you is,
based upon the report that they are putting out, is that the Barbados that you know? Do you feel that Barbados is that high on the poll when it comes to this whole question of human trafficking?
Yes, because they gave the example. They said they never convict anybody yet. I just showed you where Guyana has showed they were working on theirs. Jamaica is currently working on theirs. Now, this is the same stance Barbados usually takes with everything, including...
Yeah, but you can't... It is dangerous, in my view, to argue the point this way. You got to be able to say, look, there is hard evidence that Barbados is definitely in a country where this thing is prevalent. And, you know, it is, for instance, if they said that about prostitution around Bush Hill, you could understand. You say, yes, people pass there every night and they see these things.
Would they talk about prostitution?
No. That's not the point I'm making to you.
Okay.
This thing is about human trafficking.
Yes.
So you're saying if you are in a position to say that you know that it is clear to all of us that, you know, there's evidence of it out there and Barbados is doing nothing about it, then you can clearly say, yes, this is the Barbados I know. But you're saying, no, the reason why I have concluded that it is the Barbados I know is because there has been no prosecution.
No, but that's part of it. That's part of it. You got to go out to the people. Everybody knows it's an open secret that Barbados, every now and again, you see them probably expel people from any region. But you know, do you know that on the 7th of September 2013, right, the Prime Minister said that the decision in 2008 to give school children free ride on buses was about the same issue that we have. When Mr. Sinclair came on and said the reason was there were ferrying young ladies out of Barbados in a ring, in a prosecution ring. That's when Mrs. Thompson them said that they can get these children the free bus rides on the buses. That was mooted ever since then. When he said it was a national security risk, Mrs. Sinclair actually said what the risk was. All them hinted at it.
All right.
The Prime Minister.
Let me read for you a little bit of a report here that looks at us. It says here that some children in Barbados are subjected to commercial sexual exploitation in transactional sex, wherein a third party, such as a parent, receives a benefit from the child's participation in sexual activity. Researchers identified patterns of transactional sex within families, most often by adult male caretakers, such as stepfathers, as well as child prostitution outside the home. Women from the Dominican Republic, Guyana, and Jamaica voluntarily enter Barbados as illegal migrants, and some expect to engage in prostitution. Some of these women are exploited in forced prostitution subsequent to their arrival. Some other foreign women who enter the country illegally are exploited in involuntary domestic